Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been studying together from the book of 1 Corinthians. I've pointed out before why we have chosen this particular book to study. And the reason is because in the New Testament, a number of different books emphasize certain situations or certain problems or certain subjects which are very vital for our understanding. Now, I want to emphasize again and again, every part of the Word of God is important to God, and we should study every part of the Word of God. It is just that when we want to study a particular subject, we might choose one book for that study. If we were studying the deity of Christ, I pointed out before, we would probably look to the Gospel of John. More than any others of the Gospels, the Gospel of John would emphasize who is Jesus and why do we believe that Jesus is God the Son. This is not only spoken of by the Apostle John, by the Holy Spirit himself, but it's also spoken of by the words of the Lord Jesus, where Jesus himself asserts that all should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. In other words, he is saying, if you honor the Father, you must honor me in the same way, because I am God the Son. Now, when we study the book of Romans, the same thing would be true. The subject of salvation is discussed throughout the book of Romans, from chapter 1 clear up to the very end of the book. Not only how we are to be saved and why we need to be saved, but how saved people are to live. So everything is related to the gospel and to the doctrine of salvation. When we study the book of Corinthians, we're dealing with church life and church problems. And these are things that affect us just as much today as they did the Apostle Paul and the churches of that day. Satan is a clever enemy, and he works in very clever ways to destroy the work of God. Now, if he assaulted us from the outside, we realize, of course, we would stand together, there would be no problems. But Satan doesn't work this way. Usually, he doesn't assault us from the outside. In some countries, I think this is true. But in most of our situations, he's assaulting us from within. There either will be disunity, there will be some problems between believers which are being dragged out into the open where the name of Jesus is being shamed publicly, or there will be some other problems that are arising that need to be dealt with. And so in our churches today, we would probably not have 12 problems such as they had in 1 Corinthians. In fact, remember I divided the book according to these 12 problems. It seemed to be the easiest way to divide the book and to study the book. And in each of the 12 cases, the problem is identified and then the problem is dealt with on a spiritual basis. So our churches would not have so many problems, but any one of our churches could have some of them. And I trust God will protect your church from these problems. And if any of these problems that we have studied together appear in your church, I trust you are dealing with them. You're not going to let them go on to destroy the work of God, to divide the body of believers, and to cause the name of Jesus to be shamed. And so we have been studying this book of 1 Corinthians. Now we've come down to problem number 12. And this is the problem of hostility to Paul's workers. Hostility to Paul's workers. Now remember, the church had already been divided against Paul. There were some of the believers who were followers of Paul, they said. And some of the believers who were followers of Apollos, apparently like enemies of Paul. We don't like Paul, we don't care for his teaching, therefore we will follow Apollos. And then some of them were following Peter. Peter apparently had just visited briefly that church, but because he was one of the original followers of Jesus, nevertheless, he apparently was accepted, he became popular, and so at least a third of the believers in the church were following him. So the church was hopelessly divided. And what we're seeing, especially as we're going to later touch on 2 Corinthians, what we're seeing is that when they divided the church over these three leaders, they actually made the other leaders like their enemies. In other words, we don't like these two men. So the people who were following Peter were saying, we don't like Apollos, we don't like Paul. And the same thing was true. The followers of Apollos would say the same thing about Peter and about Paul. And so in this church, there was some hostility toward Paul himself. Apparently, he had given them some strong teaching before he ever wrote this book of 1 Corinthians, maybe in a visit to them. He had given them some very strong teaching, and they had reacted to it. Now, I want to say again about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, just as much as Peter, was an apostle of Jesus Christ. I personally believe, and believe this very strongly, that Paul was God's chosen 12th apostle to take the place of Judas, who had betrayed the Lord. Rather than Matthias, who was chosen in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, it was Paul who was to be the 12th apostle, the one to take the place of Judas. In other words, the apostles themselves had been rather anxious about this. The 120 believers, in fact, had been anxious about this. We are lacking one apostle. What are we going to do? Who will take the place of Judas? And so they chose a person, I believe, on their own initiative. And it wasn't God's will, and Paul was to be that one. Because the number 12 seems to be the number that God wanted for the apostles. Now, what I'm saying is this. Because he was an apostle, Paul had authority, and his authority was to be respected. In other words, his authority was to be accepted, it was to be respected, it was to be followed. Just as though Peter himself were giving them some instructions, so when Paul would speak, his authority was just as great as the authority of Peter or James or John or any of the other apostles, and they were to be followed. And then, when Paul would send a worker to visit them, this worker was to be listened to because he represented Paul and his authority. In other words, he carried with him Paul's own authority. So when this worker would come, for instance, Timothy or Titus or some other worker Paul would send, this worker was to be accepted. They were to welcome him. They were to take him in graciously and lovingly. They were to care for him. And they were to listen to the teaching because he was bringing instructions from Paul himself, the apostle. And so it was a very clear idea that Paul is following here. When I send somebody to you, I expect you to receive them. Now the problem is, and we're going to see this in chapter 10 now, or chapter 16 rather, verse 10. The problem is this. Paul says in verse 10, "Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come to me, for I look for him with the brethren." Now, let's just think of this for a few moments. Paul did not know how they were going to receive Timothy if he would be sent. Now, they were supposed to receive him with respect. They were to accept the authority that he carried with him from the Apostle Paul himself. They were in every way to conduct themselves with him in a loving, tender manner, and to send him on his way, apparently generously supplied. His needs would be generously supplied. But Paul could not be certain of this, because this church was not that kind of a church. They had already indicated their hostility toward him. And we're going to see this manifested and multiplied, in fact, in the book of 2 Corinthians. But even in 1 Corinthians, Paul had already seen their hostility toward him. And he knew that there was some danger that Timothy would not be received in a manner that was befitting the Lord, and that he would come to them, in fact, in fear. Now, in 2 Corinthians, Paul is going to mention he's going to send Titus to them. This is going to be in chapter 12. And Titus is going to face the same situation. In other words, accept Titus as you would myself. In other words, accept Titus in a spirit of love. Because Titus was the other worker whom Paul would often use to be sent to various places. And so this problem of hostility is going to be a problem that's going to face. And I think it's probably the 12th problem in this book. So this attitude of dislike and hostility is apparently now going to carry over even to the co-workers of Paul, Timothy, Titus, and others. And Paul has to deal with it in this section of the closing chapter of this epistle. Paul was therefore concerned that these co-workers, including even Apollos, now Apollos is mentioned after Timothy, even Apollos himself, should not be badly treated by the Corinthians. Remember, only one-third of the people were following Apollos. The other two-thirds were following two other leaders, but only one-third were following Apollos. So Apollos is on good terms, of course, with Paul. Paul might send him to minister to them, even though he was not an apostle, but he would send him to minister to them. And Apollos himself could be rejected by these people, at least by 2/3 of these people, if you want to divide it that way. So as we note at the end of this section, this hostility also had to do with an unwillingness to be under authority itself. There are many people today who have this problem, and this was a problem in the Corinthian church. They simply did not want to be under authority. It was this proud, arrogant spirit among them that caused them to reject authority, the authority of anyone whom Paul would send, Paul himself, or perhaps anyone else, because even Peter had only been received by 1/3 of those people. So this problem of authority was a problem in that church. And whenever we're unwilling to yield to authority, either in society or wherever the authority might have to be exercised, whenever we're unwilling to yield, we're out of the will of God. So in the church itself, and I want to make this very, very clear, we have pastoral leadership. We have the leadership of the pastor, and of course, working under him are the deacons, and these people are in authority in the church. Now, we do not believe that the Bible teaches dictatorship. I realize there is a temptation sometimes in leadership for dictatorship to enter in. In other words, I'm an authority, and therefore I'm going to exercise my authority. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm not accepting anyone's advice. I'm going to exercise my authority, and you better listen to me. That is not the spirit of the New Testament at all. That's not the spirit that God is teaching. God is teaching a humble spirit of leadership. Moses was to have that. We are to have that today in our leadership. And I believe, and I have no reason to doubt this, I believe that this type of spirit is right here in Guam. And it's true in so many places in the United States. But the temptation towards dictatorship can always be there. But what I want to say is this, that when there is authority, people are to yield to that authority. In other words, for instance, the office of a pastor. When a pastor is preaching from the pulpit, he has been trained in the things of God. He's been chosen by God to be their leader and their pastor and their guide spiritually. And therefore, the people of the church are to listen to him. And this idea of rebellion and arrogance sometimes will enter in church life, where people will simply say, I don't have to listen to him anymore. Or, I don't agree with what he has to say. Or, I don't respect him as he expects to be respected. And so, I'm not going to listen to him anymore. And so, rebellion begins, and pretty soon, the church is divided by such people. And so, we need to have a humble spirit, both in preaching, and I say this as a preacher of the word. We need to have a humble spirit, both in preaching, but also in listening to the preaching of the word. This is the way the church moves forward for God. And so this problem of hostility and unwillingness to submit to authority was apparently a major problem in this church. So these men were coming at his bidding, and so his authority as an apostle was going to go with them. But the Corinthians might not be willing either to receive these men or to follow and respond to anything that these men might say to them. And this was a major problem in the church. And it's a problem that can be a temptation in our churches today as well. The pastor should have no reason to fear. And people who come to minister to us should have no reason to fear from the people in the church. They're doing the work of God. They're dedicated people whom God has chosen, both your pastor and others who might come in to minister to the church. And they're to be respected, and they're to not be held high like God himself, nothing like this, but nevertheless, they're to be respected, they're to be listened to, and they're to be well treated. So I want to leave this teaching with you. We're going to come to the conclusion in the next message, but I want to leave this teaching with you, and it's my prayer that in your own hearts, you will have a spirit of humility, and a spirit of willingness to receive God's workers, to receive them in love, to treat them in love, and to send them on their way if they're merely visiting in their ministries. Send them on their way in love. But you'll not be rebellious against the authority they exercise. I realize we don't have apostles today, but we still have servants of God who are called by God to minister to us. And may the Lord help you to be this kind of people as you work together in the Church of God for the furtherance of the gospel and the ministry that God has given you. May the Lord bless you, each one.